So trees have been around for hundreds of millions of years and, well, despite our best efforts, still cover about 30% of the Earth's surface. That level of ubiquity and proximity implies that trees can, to an extent, communicate with one another. To do this, trees have formed a symbiotic relationship with another group of organisms, that is the mycorrhizal fungi, which Raffi mentioned earlier. These vast and complex underground networks have remained unknown to us until relatively recently, but are the source of some remarkable interactions between trees. Here's Tom Crowther at ETH Zurich.
We all know that forests are these incredible ecosystems that we all experience when we go exploring the wilderness. But what we often don't know is that there is an immense network of fungi that exist below the soil. These invisible little filaments of fungi spread all throughout the soil, and they actually grow in association with those trees, allowing those trees to access the nutrients and water that they need to survive. And there are millions of them in every single gram of soil. They spread throughout the entire ecosystem. And because they're so thin, they're able to really tap into the phosphorus and nitrogen and all the things that plants need to access. And what they do is they then grow in association with the plant roots. And so they can exchange that nitrogen and phosphorus for the carbon, which the trees are accessing through their leaves. And that means that both the fungus and the tree can get access to the nutrients and resources they need to survive together.
And if you are, as you say, linking up all these trees through a network, does that imply that the trees and themselves might be able to communicate, might not be the right word, but impart information?
Well, yes. Yeah. So what we do see is some of these fungi will actually connect to multiple trees, in fact, to large networks of trees in some of the forests. They are also all connecting with other different fungi, and through this massive growing network, which some people refer to as the wood wide web, it is possible that nutrients and signals get moved around throughout the forest in this incredible underground network. Now, some people will say that that is communication between the trees. Quite a few other scientists are not in favor of that wording because it suggests that the trees are really trying to talk to each other. But what the reality of the situation, I think, is actually even more magical. It's that there are these thousands of signals that are just constantly moving throughout the forest, and the trees are responding to those signals.
What kind of information is being sent between these trees?
So the most obvious thing that is being moved is nutrients. The fungus is accessing these nutrients and spreading it towards the trees, but sometimes that fungus is connected to multiple trees. And so the fungus isn't actively trying to help one tree over another. It's just redistributing its nutrients to wherever it's needed. So if you imagine that you have an injury, a lot of additional energy is relocated to that location with the injury so that injury can heal, which means that within the fungal network, if there's an area where maybe one of the host trees is dying or one of the host trees is struggling, then that fungus might choose to allocate more nutrients in the direction of that host tree so that its entire system can be functioning better.
All of this interconnectedness between the trees and the fungi kind of implies that we need to stop thinking of trees as individuals and instead think of them as part of a greater whole.
I think you could not be more right. If there's one thing we know in ecology, it's that no species exists in isolation. Everything is interdependent on everything else. And if you took away the mycorrhizal fungi, you don't have trees. If you took away trees, you don't have mycorrhizal fungi. And those are just two of the thousands and thousands of species that are fully dependent on one another.
Given how wet we know fungi like it, and given how much drier and hotter it's going to be with current climate projections, are we expecting to see a shift in this symbiotic relationship?
Well, unfortunately, yes. Warmer, drier soils are not beneficial for these fungi, and so they are really damaging our forests, and they're limiting the capacity of those forests to capture carbon and help us in the fight against climate change. But on top of that, what we realized in this global analysis of the mycorrhizal networks is that it's changing the composition of the fungi too. Certain types of fungi, we call them ectomycorrhizal fungi, they grow in these very large networks and they grow very slowly. Because of the way they behave, they end up storing huge amounts of carbon in the soil. Other types of fungi, which we call arbuscular mycorrhizal fungi, these dominate in warm, dry areas, and they tend to be a little bit smaller networks, and they tend to store slightly less carbon in the soil. And both of those fungi are incredibly valuable and important to the functioning of our planet. But what climate change is doing is it is changing the composition, so we're getting fewer and fewer of the large ectomycorrhizal networks, that we see in the cold regions. And as they leave, they are being replaced by the arbusco mycorrhizal fungi. And on its own, that wouldn't be a big concern. But what that means is it's speeding up carbon cycling in the soil. And that means that we are releasing more and more and more carbon into the atmosphere, causing a feedback loop that could really start to spiral out of control and accelerate the rate of climate change to a terrifying degree. What we do know is that when we protect intact, healthy ecosystems, we are able to improve the diversity of those networks in the soil, and that can lead to massive additional carbon sequestration. So it really is good evidence that protecting diversity is essential for our climate change fight.
That was Tom Crowther.